One of the most widely used intelligence tests is something called Raven's Progressive Matrices. It requires no language skills or a specific body of acquired knowledge. It's a measure of abstract reasoning skills. A typical Raven's test consists of 48 items, each one harder than the one before it, and your IQ is calculated by how many items you get right. If I gave you the hardest question on the Raven's, I'm guessing you wouldn't get it correct. Nor would I. Chris Langan almost certainly could, however. When we say that people like Langan are really brilliant, what we mean is that they have the kind of mind that can figure out puzzles like that last hardest Raven's question. Over the years, an enormous amount of research has been done trying to figure out how a person's performance on an IQ test like the Raven's translates to real-life success. People at the bottom of the scale, with IQs below 70, are considered mentally disabled. A score of 100 is average. You probably need to be just above that mark to be able to handle college. To get into and succeed in a reasonably competitive graduate program, meanwhile, you probably need an IQ of at least 115. In general, the higher your score, the more education you'll get, the more money you'll make, and, believe it or not, the longer you'll live. But there's a catch. This relationship between success and IQ works only up to a point. Once someone has reached an IQ of somewhere around 120, having additional IQ points doesn't seem to translate into any measurable real-world advantage. It is amply proved that someone with an IQ of 170 is more likely to think well than someone whose IQ is 70, the British psychologist Liam Hudson has written. And this holds true where the comparison is much closer, between IQs of, say, 100 and 130. But the relation seems to break down when one is making comparisons between two people, both of whom have IQs which are relatively high. A mature scientist with an adult IQ of 130 is as likely to win a Nobel Prize as one whose IQ is 180.